Welcome to the Orange County Catholic Radio Show on AM 1000 in Orange and San Diego counties and on AM 930 in Los Angeles County. Each week, we bring you compelling conversation with church leaders and laity, talking about the things going on in our diocese and discussing the important issues that impact the world around us. We're coming to you through the good offices of Immaculate Heart Radio from our studios on the campus of Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, where Catholic faith is crystal clear. Here now to introduce our guest and today's topic is your host, Rick Howick.
Welcome to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host, and with me today is Sheila Beingesner. Sheila, welcome.
Thank you, Rick.
And Sheila comes to us through St. Joseph Radio, which I've had a long association, and I've had a good friendship with Sheila for quite some time. So, Sheila, if you'd be so kind as to lead us in a word of prayer, I think the entire listening audience would be grateful.
Okay. I think the appropriate one for talking about the topic we're going to be talking about would be St. Michael the Archangel.
Okay.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our defense against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And to thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by devour God, thrust into hell Satan, all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Well, Sheila, I want to thank you again for being with us today. I don't put it out there as often as I used to, but I've been involved with St. Joseph Radio for quite some time, really since 1997 myself. And I've done some part-time speaker work, and I do a little bit of work out here with Catholic Man of the Year. But the person who's in charge of Catholic Man of the Year, the person who makes it happen, is sitting in front of me, Sheila. And you're the one who makes absolutely certain that all the ducks get in a row and all the things happen and fire in line. And I want to, first of all, thank you for that service, but I would like you to explain a little bit to our listening audience, what is the St. Joseph Catholic Radio Man of the Year?
Okay, I will explain that in just a second, but let me rephrase what you said. I do a lot for California, the California office of St. Joseph Radio, but Lou, the chairman and the director, lives in Missouri at the St. Charles office. Lou Cortese is the instigator behind St. Joseph Radio and the power behind St. Joseph Radio.
For the people who don't know, Lou is short for Lucille.
It is a Mrs.
And Lou and I go back to 1997 as well.
Yes.
And I remember the first time she asked me to come out because I was a fairly new convert from Presbyterian ministry, and she asked me to speak. And I remember I gave this hour-long talk that actually I had, like a good Presbyterian, I had written the entire thing out, and it was the most boring thing you could have ever had in the world. And what got Lou to decide to call me back afterwards was the question and answers, because I didn't have anything written out. And I actually did okay.
That is true. And you know, that's how I know you best, is because of the personality that comes out when you're answering the questions and the knowledge. There's so much knowledge there.
Well, thank you.
That you can't just read your credentials and know without speaking to you.
It's funny because when I first started here now over a year ago, the first couple of guests who I had on had been on before and I had no notes. And they were a little bit worried that I had no notes, but I know we're doing four short conversations. The way that the program is set up through Immaculate Heart Radio is, in their format, they want to have basically four quarters of an hour, so about 12 minutes or so. And then at the 12-minute mark, they usually will have a couple of important announcements or things. No real commercials. This is not – if there is a commercial on, it's for something we're doing. It's not an actual – sold commercial because it's a nonprofit. But those four conversations, that's all we have.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're going to do today.
Yes.
We're going to talk a little bit about St. Joseph Radio, specifically Man of the Year. But also I want to have the audience learn a little bit about you, because there's an interesting background for you as well. But before we get there, what is Catholic Man of the Year?
Well, it started about 13 years ago. Lou had been wanting to do this for a long time. And she, when Bishop McFarlane was the Bishop of Orange, he said, yeah, that's a great idea. Do it, Lou. But she was just trying to get him to do it, because we had Catholic Woman of the Year. that was part of a little softness in her heart to accentuate the men in our church that do so much, because they are great examples.
I want us to talk a little bit about that in a few minutes.
Yeah.
Is that the reasons behind doing it are so stirring.
So anyways, we ended up tackling it and trying to do a little bit after the format of Woman of the Year. But it's been 13 years and it's been growing each year. And we still want it to expand to all the parishes, but that will come. We feel that it will come.
So this is focused on the Diocese of Orange.
Yes.
And every parish and recognized Catholic organization is welcome to submit a nominee. How does that process work?
Okay. And actually, this year we're encouraging anyone that wants to nominate, because we had last year we had a general announcement in the newspaper, and a gentleman from an organization that met kind of a support group for children with a disability.
Disabled children's group. Okay.
And it was an autism group. I'm telling you, that ended up being one of our top nominees.
Wow. It doesn't shock me.
His group just wanted to honor this man who had done so much for so many families in the area, because he had an autistic child and there was no support for him when he had it. So he started one. Now that's just the heart of St. Joseph. That is what you do. You just start finding out that other people need support too. And his family came, and the people in his group were coming. It was too expensive for them to get a table, and we found a donor that donated a table for that group to come. I said, that's not going to make me stop you from going. I'm going
to
work on this.
This isn't pay to play.
We got a person to donate a table for him, a wonderful gentleman.
Yeah.
They were able to come, and they were thrilled to be able to recognize this person. And that's when we started changing our philosophy, that it's, yes, we pick one man for the diocesan representative of Man of the Year, but when a parish nominates somebody, that's their Man of the Year.
Yes.
When an organization nominates somebody, that's their Man of the Year. And we just make this dinner, an awards dinner, an event, available to recognize them and to have them recognized by their peers or by other people within the church.
So this event is essentially then a culminating dinner. There's a dinner that's involved, and at this dinner, all of the nominees, and there's usually 20, 40...
Yeah, about 20, 25 sometimes.
There's a large group of people who've been nominated, each one per parish, and each one of them is individually recognized.
Yes.
Everyone is brought up, and then their individual biography is read.
Yes.
We don't take a long time to do it.
We take a synopsis of that.
Yeah.
But when the judges, I have maybe a dozen judges that judge all of these nominee forms that they fill out, and one of them stands out. You know, it is a number system, so obviously a number that stands out above, even if some people are low judgers when they judge each area 1 to 10.
It averages out.
It just seems, the spirit just seems to zero in on one candidate, and that's the one. And sometimes there's 3 or 4 candidates that are like 1 or 2 points. I mean, it's it's amazing, but you know, it's like what they call the cream rises to the top. And this is hard when all of these men are deserving. So that's why we wanted to make sure that each man gets celebrated in their own community as the Man of the Year for that parish or that organization.
So the parish would have their person there, or the organization, if it was, say, Knights of Columbus or some other group.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And each one of them will be recognized as the Man of the Year for their parish or their organization.
Yes.
Within the Diocese of Orange. But there's also then one chosen man from amongst that group of 25, 30 men that have been nominated.
For that year, represent the diocese, is that this is it.
And last year was Dr. Bill Sayers.
Yes.
And Dr. Sayers, it's an amazing background. I mean, we're talking a lot of things he's done internationally, but he's been a child pediatrician for many years, a leader in many different organizations involved with so many different things. And it was wonderful to be able to have him win that. We had him actually on the air a few months ago when we were talking about what it's like to go through the process for Man of the Year. And when we come back, I want us to be able to talk a little bit more about that process and what it would be for someone to nominate someone. Because everyone who's listening out there right now, whether you're in the Diocese of Orange or outside the Diocese of Orange, can nominate someone. The focus has been the Diocese of Orange. It's also historically been parish by parish, but we've broken down that so that parishes are encouraged, but so too are organizations. And for years now, mm-hmm. we've had a number of different organizations come through.
Yes, yes, yes.
So you're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host. With me today is Sheila Beingessner. And Sheila, when we come back, I want us to talk a little bit about the process. And then I want to also make sure that our listening audience knows a little bit about you, because I met you at the same time I met Lou Cortese, Lucille, and dynamic people. The two of you are so radically different in your personalities, but you two work together so well in a partnership that even though she's now halfway across the country, two-thirds of the way across the country in St. Louis, the two of you still work this out very well. So once again, we're at Orange County Catholic Radio, coming to you high atop the Tower of Hope on the beautiful campus of Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, where Catholic faith is crystal clear, and we'll be right back.
I want to tell all little souls how indescribable is your love.
Meet Saint Therese, the little flower, in a live performance that speaks to all ages.
I will send down a shower of roses.
Experience Therese, the story of a soul, a powerful live production.
See it at Christ Cathedral's Fried Theater in Garden Grove. Three performances only. January 27th, 28th, and 29th. Visit ccdramaseries.com for tickets and information. That's ccdramaseries.com.
And we're back at Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host. And with me today is a longtime friend and fellow worker with St. Joseph Radio, Sheila Beingessner. And Sheila, again, thank you for coming in and thank you for your bravery. I know your favorite thing is not to necessarily be on the air. We've had this conversation before because I've dragged you on the air at different places at different times from time to time. So thank you for coming and talking with us today. We were talking in the last segment, just kind of introducing St. Joseph Catholic Man of the Year. And each year we have one of the bishops come in to help hand out and congratulate these men at the dinner ceremony. I understand this year we've been told that Bishop Van, the bishop of the diocese, is planning to come and be there with us. So this is a pretty big event, a pretty big deal. Where is this located and when is it located?
Well, the event will be held on March 18th. We try to do it as close to the Feast of St. Joseph that we can.
Okay.
And it's Saturday, March 18th at the Wyndham Hotel and Resort. It's in Garden Grove, but it's on Harbor Boulevard, a little bit south of Disneyland.
Okay. So this is really in central, north central Orange County, and it's the ability for people to get there would be very easy if you happen to be coming from here. We're broadcasting right in Garden Grove. It's a hop, skip, and a jump
away from
here.
It's a hop, skip, and a jump. It's close to the 405 freeway for people that are familiar with that. And the 5, you can reach it.
It's a beautiful event. It's a beautiful hotel. But more importantly, there's a bunch of beautiful people that put this together. So tell me a little bit. Let's take Bill Sayers, for example. Bill Sayers was nominated. What happened to his application? What's from the very beginning, how would he have been nominated?
All right. Well, the applications come into the office, and I will make a copy of that that application.
How would the application, who got it? Who would have gotten it in the first place? Who would have started the ball rolling?
Oh, well, probably his organization was Physicians for Compassionate Care.
Okay. So that's an organization here in Orange County.
Mm-hmm, they looked on the website of stjosephradio.net, and it has a little Catholic Man of the Year. Okay. They can press to get the forms. And also we have a website here in Orange County, which is OC, which stands for Orange County, mm-hmm. OCCatholicMan.org.
Okay.
And you can go on
OCCatholicMan.org.
You can go on that site and get a copy of the reservation forms and the nominee forms to fill out.
Okay.
And so the sponsor who is nominating the person has a little area to fill out as to why they nominated this person, what qualities of St. Joseph that they saw in that person.
Okay.
because that's what we are trying to get is the spirit of Saint Joseph in these men.
Okay.
So
they do want to talk about it.
Yeah, they fill out that paragraph or two about why they want to recognize this man.
So it's not a book. It's just a short synopsis.
Yes, it's not. It's no more than a page, a typewritten page, but we would just like one or two paragraphs of just really zero in on what was that little spark that you saw that said, this is the man I'd like to recognize.
Okay.
And then the nominee, he gives the paperwork to him and he fills out the paperwork of the things in the church or, you know, that he's been involved with.
Okay.
And it doesn't have to be a lot necessarily. Sometimes right. It's a long list, especially if someone's been involved with the church for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the prime thing that we judge by.
No.
We do take that into consideration that that a person's been active the whole time, especially if it's an older gentleman. But if it's a younger gentleman, obviously, he's not going to have quite a long series of organizations possibly, but it's his heart that we see. And that's the question we ask him. We ask him, why do you do what you do? What motivates you? Why do you feel it compelled to not just live your life and live your vocation in your job, but return to the church to give it support and to be active in Christ work? Isn't always paid.
Right. And I know that some of these men are absolutely heroic, like Dr. Sayers, and some of these men wouldn't fit the normal definition of heroic, but they make sure the chairs are all down and the chairs are put up and the tables are down and the tables are put up at just about every event that goes on, and they do it quietly.
Yes,
they do
the behind. I call them the behind the scenes people. They don't want to seek glory. And those are the hardest ones for us to get, to want to be recognized. But the point that I try to make with them and to try and make with the people nominating them is to tell them, look, it's not that we want you to feel like this is some big honor, that it's all you, but what we want you to see is that you're letting people know how God uses little old you to do these important things that need to be done. We can't have a speaker at an event if we don't have everything prepared.
Right.
The seats are there, the hospitality of the parish itself. Some of these men are really the pastor's right hand. When he is
right.
in a pinch and he doesn't know who he can call to help him do something, there's always a handful of men he can call. And those are the ones that we want to recognize too. And so we encourage that it's not that you're going seeking some glory, but you're trying to give God the glory by saying, look how God uses everyone. We all have different talents. We're not always put in a position where we can give great talks, but we might be put in a position that we're supporting the parish and hosting it. Maybe we're encouraging the parish to put on an event. You know, there's those guys too that always are kind of giving a lot of suggestions. And why can our parish do this? Can we hold this? And that's important too.
I've had this conversation with you before, and I know when we were talking about the men who prefer to be behind the scenes, those who are not exactly your type A personality, but nevertheless make sure things happen, they're often the last ones to say that they want to be recognized for anything. But you've always said that, no, it's important to be recognized, but not for your sake. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Yeah, because my part of it that touches my heart and why I love to be involved with Catholic Man of the Year is because our world offers us so many role models that are flawed. I mean, some of them are great, but it seems like no matter what the movie industry, what the radio industry, whatever industry is out there, they're good, but then, they get honored for these great things. And then in a week or two, you see some kind of a big scandal that they're in. They kill somebody or they've run, drugs, whatever it is. And here within our church, we have so many great men that sacrifice so much for their families and for the community. And our youth don't know anything about them. Sometimes their own families don't even know to the extent that their fathers do for the church.
Our church recognizes the necessity of icons, and the word icon means an image that portrays an aspect of God. We have those icons in saints. We Catholics love saints, but we love saints not just because we want to honor somebody. They're dead. We have saints to remember what they did and to inspire us to be like them.
Yeah, to emulate them. And that's why our church started identifying certain people as saints.
And not all saints are dead.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons why it's important for us to have role models like these men that are being nominated, like these men who need to be nominated.
Because they're living in this, in a situation that these, that our youth are living in. And they have to see, or they should be able to see, that even among the challenges of this world, you know, the distractions of advertising and TV and that pull, that you can rise above that and still allow time to help others, and organizations like St. Vincent de Paul, or lots of different organizations that we have for the poor, and our hospital work that we do, and the feeding of the poor and the hungry, the feeding of the unwed mothers that have needs, or there's just a million of them. And that's the other thing about the event. As a convert, when I attended my first one, you know, I just was so unaware of all the things our church was involved with. It's just, and every year you hear more. And like when I heard about this gentleman, just in his own little community, and whenever he can find, the diocese will, if you have an autistic child, here's a number you can call for support. And it's just a small little group of people that have the same needs, that they can get together and support one another. Now, what's more Catholic than that? What's more Christian than that? That's living the gospel.
And what's important to me, just from a parish perspective or from an organizational perspective, to have out in the bulletin that we're going to honor Joe Smith for being our nominee as Catholic Man of the Year, and a little tiny bio underneath, this is why we're doing it. To have other men look at that, especially our young men, or to have these young men hear about it, that these are men who in their regular life, they go off to work each day. Some mm-hmm. of them may be professionals, some of them may be plumbers, but they go off to work every day and they come back, and now they're contributing as well to the church, and it's inspirational. Mm-hmm. It's something that our young men need to hear about.
Yeah. And I think because we lose so many of our Catholics when they go into college, because they get focused on their career, they get focused on other things, you know, the community life that's within the campus. But these men have shown them that, and they demonstrate to them that it's more than that. You never leave your faith. You always should donate something back to God. It's not just that hour that people are not, one day a week, that was Sunday, that we're supposed to honor God. These are men that go above and beyond.
This is not just a faith about taking. It's a faith about giving.
A faith about giving.
And the Orange County Catholic Man of the Year, St. Joseph Radio Catholic Man of the Year, has proven to be a fantastic way to do that. When we come back, I want to ask you, Sheila, a little bit more about this, but I'm going to ask you about you as well, because you've got an interesting story. You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host, and we will be right back.
Hello, this is Jim Hooper, 2016 nominee for St. Joseph Radio Man of the Year. I'm excited to let you know that the 2017 Man of the Year dinner is coming up on March 18th. The deadline for submission is March 1st, and it's an encouragement to all Catholic men and Catholics in general to get active and get involved. While all men there were shy about standing out, we all walked away with a renewed sense of excitement about serving the Lord. So please don't hesitate to nominate an outstanding man from your parish or organization. The deadline again is March 1st. For more information, call Sheila at 714-402-6347 or go to the website
www.occatholicman.org. That's occatholicman.org.
Thanks, and we hope to see you at the dinner. God bless.
Welcome back to Orange County Catholic Radio, coming to you through the good offices of Immaculate Heart Radio, here on the 8th floor of the Tower of Hope, looking out over all of Orange County from Garden Grove on the campus of Christ Cathedral. I'm Rick Howick, your host for Orange County Catholic Radio, and with me today from St. Joseph Radio is Sheila Beingessner, and Sheila has been involved for several years with St. Joseph Radio. I've been involved with him as well, so I've known Sheila for a long time. So there's my disclosure. But Sheila is here talking to us about St. Joseph Catholic Man of the Year. And we were talking a little bit about the value of what these men represent to other people who see them nominated. So a shy man, someone who wants to just kind of put the chairs out but not be recognized for anything, it's their duty to be recognized in a sense, isn't it?
Yeah, it really, it's their way of complimenting God, I think, because God has touched their heart to do this for the church, no matter what. Even I think of Juan Diego. Why did God choose him?
Yeah.
Because he would do it. Some men would not have done what he did.
And who besides God would have chosen Atilba to be a portrait?
Exactly. You know? And Juan kept saying, "Oh, Our Lady, please choose somebody else, not me. Yeah. The bishop's not going to listen to me." But and she goes, "No, I want you."
And that's important for people who are thinking, and I can hear right now the wheels turning in the minds of people who are listening. I know someone that ought to be nominated. Well, if you know someone that ought to be nominated, go talk to your parish priest or go talk to whoever the head of the organization is and see what they think.
Go on the website and get the papers, look them over, and then present them to the organization leader or the pastor or parish council.
That's because, frankly, it's important for those men who have done some wonderful things on behalf of God. If they're doing it for God's sake, then it's important for people to have that example.
Mm-hmm.
Just as St. Joseph was a silent, behind-the-scenes example.
Didn't say much in the gospel. We don't have any record of anything that he necessarily said.
We have no words. We have things that happened to him. We have the dreams that happened to him. And we have what he chose to do in response to those dreams and instructions, and was always faithful, silent, behind the scenes, empowering, faithful example.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what these men are.
Yes.
Sheila, I want to shift gears for just a moment. I want to ask you about you for a moment. You said that you are a convert to the faith. Welcome. Although
Thank
it's
you.
Been a few years.
Yes.
What got you involved in Catholic ministry? Because that's what this is. What you do for St. Joseph Radio is Catholic ministry. What got you?
Well, I tell you what, when I first became Catholic in 1978, I think the way God touched my heart was that, and may help me to realize, is that there are a lot of people that believe the way I believe, that have, I don't know how to explain it, maybe a servant heart, or that wants to help people. And that's how he got me. He tricked me, I think.
God's a holy trickster.
That's a whole story in itself. But and it was through a dream. So I really identify with St. Joseph. But I realized that there were people out there. I didn't think there were that many people out there that thought the way I thought. And I just kept getting more involved. I got involved with just a regular non-denominational Bible study just because a neighbor invited me. And it just happened to be the day after I got this answer to my prayer. And I said, wow, why would she come knock on my door? The door of my hearts were just opening up to Jesus, because that was my problem. I always believed in God, but I wasn't sure about Jesus anymore.
Who's this Jesus person?
Yeah, I had seen something on TV and I realized, oh my gosh, they're saying that this man is God? No way, my man. My God does not make mistakes and men do. So I said, I can't have him be part of my God. So I really was contemplating becoming Jewish.
Wow.
Because I thought, that's the same God. So if that door knock hadn't happened right then and invited me to that Bible study, and through that Bible study, half of them were ex-Catholics.
Wow.
At least half.
That sounds like a harvest.
Well, I did not realize that, but in my little small group when we discussed, everybody was flabbergasted. My husband's Catholic, so I was still going to Catholic Mass with him. I just wasn't saying Jesus' name when I was going. Because, when you say the creed, that you don't get very far before Jesus pops up. You can't say the rest of it. But I said, I'll try. And as a convert, I didn't understand anything going on in his church, really. And the songs weren't familiar to me, because I grew up in a community church. But I was never baptized. So there were some songs that I did like. And believe it or not, my favorite song was What a Friend We Have in Jesus. But I just didn't. I never identified Jesus as being God. Just a good guy.
So what God, how did Jesus get you?
Well, because my sister asked me to say a prayer to open my heart to Jesus, and he would answer me. Because I was trying to figure out this on my own. What the connection between Jesus and God was.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, I don't think it's that way. I think you have to just say this prayer and open your heart, and he'll send people to you in your answer.
And did he?
And he did.
Imagine that.
Through a dream. First. Yeah, I had a dream, and an old friend from high school was in my dream. And I thought, why is he in my dream? So I wrote him a letter. I looked in my yearbook where the last reunion was. And I wrote to him, and I said, do you have something to tell me? I told him about my dream. And he said, actually, Sheila, I don't know any. I can't explain your dream at all. But this letter from you has really helped me realize that I need to go back to church and that God works through people. And
he worked through you.
And I thought, yeah, I'm reading this and I'm thinking, but God, I wanted the answer. Why did you give an important lesson?
And
I said, well, for one thing, the thing I came away with is that my God told Jesus that one thing about me that nobody knows, that the way to reach me would be to allow me to help someone.
Wow.
And I said, oh my gosh, my God is so faithful to me. He would never betray me unless he trusted this guy.
That was the sign you needed.
And I said, doggone it, they're connected. So I had a little more openness to Jesus, at least, you know. And so then through the Bible study, I got to know him a little bit better.
When did you become Catholic?
Well, I said 1978 was when it was a couple years before that when I got this.
Okay.
So it took me about a year of going to Bible study and seeking. And our church was asking for volunteers for high school CCD, for people to open up their homes. They didn't have to teach. They just needed vacant homes.
Yeah.
And so I said, well, gosh, we just moved into this house. We don't have hardly any furniture. So I have a whole living room that we could just, a lot of kids could sit there and we could. So I did. And the teacher came, and I don't know what her rationale was, because I told her I wasn't Catholic, but she just started having me help lesson plan with her, because she knew I'd gone to Bible study, but she said, that's okay, just help me. And then it came up that the diocese was having training for teachers. You know, if you go to these couple classes, you can be trained to be a CCD teacher. And I thought,
to help.
Yeah, and I thought, well, I don't really want to be a teacher, but you know what? Because I thought if I could listen to the high school group, I could learn more about the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize I was going to be helping to plan it. But so then I thought, well, these classes would be good. And she encouraged me to go. She goes, yeah, then you could host your own. And I thought, well, that's not what I want to do, but I bet they'll have more answers for me.
God had your number. He knew that you needed to help in order for you to have this be complete. All right.
I don't know. Anyway, so that was, I don't want to keep going too long, but then that's what got me involved. And so I've always been involved. I'd read the Ligurian magazine, and it said something about this program that this person had that invited ex-Catholics home. And of course, why wouldn't I wanted to invite all those people that were in my Bible study back home? So I went to the pastor and I said, can we have one of these family reunion things? And he said, yeah, you can head it. I said, what? That's not how it works, is it? And so he assigned about 5 or 6 parishioners to help me get this family reunion. Well, now it's turned into a big coming home group. I mean, you know, that's a diocesan-wide. All the parishes do a coming home for ex-Catholics.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was through that one article in the Ligurian that I wrote to and said, give me more information on how you got this started.
Wow, that's a neat story. We've only got a minute or so left in this segment, but what got you involved with St. Joseph Radio?
Well, St. Joseph Radio was 12 years after I had been into Catholicism. But I had just recently discovered John Paul II.
Oh, yes.
And I was so turned on by him. And some of my friends, I should say, they didn't speak as highly about him. And so I wanted to find out more about him. And my daughter told me she had just helped Lou move from one location to another. So she told me to go, and Lou would have lots of books for me to read.
And so you went to the bookstore they had there. And because at that time they had a bookstore downstairs, a studio upstairs.
Mm-hmm. And I was just helping out, and she would be giving me authors and books to read.
And you were invited to help.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, God has your number.
Yeah.
So you were going to help. And that's how you got involved with St. Joseph Radio.
Yes. And then when they did Man of the Year, like I said, it's always touched me, because I think our youth and everybody needs better examples. So I thought this would be a good outlet, still a part of St. Joseph Radio, but still helping in that way.
And I know you very well from having helped me when I've shown up there. You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. With me today is Sheila Beingessner from St. Joseph Radio, and we're talking about Catholic Man of the Year, and we'll be right back.
The Diocese of Orange is partnered with local travel company, Travel of Orange, to assist in organizing and facilitating pilgrimages to Catholic shrines, churches, and inspiring destinations worldwide. Find out about discounted travel rates, personal service, and customized travel experiences at key religious sites. Call 877-538-0010 or visit travel.occatholic.com to learn more. That's 877-538-0010 or travel.occatholic.com.
Oh, Jesus, I want to tell all little souls how indescribable is your love.
Meet St. Therese, the little flower, in a live performance that speaks to all ages.
I will send down a shower of roses.
Experience Therese, the story of a soul, a powerful live production.
See it at Christ Cathedral's Fried Theater in Garden Grove, three performances only. January 27th, 28th, and 29th. Visit ccdramaseries.com for tickets and information. That's ccdramaseries.com.
And we're back at Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host. And with me today has been Sheila Beingessner. And Sheila, I want to thank you so much for being here and for the bravery that you've exhibited by being willing to talk so personally about your call and how God worked with you. As I said, he had your number. He knew the sign you needed was to be needed and that you would rise to the occasion for that. And you have. And you've done a number of things. You've got a number of great ideas. But right now we're focused on this one thing, St. Joseph Catholic Man of the Year. This has become, in the Diocese of Orange, a very important event. And this is going to be held this year on March the 18th, 2017. And that'll be at the Wyndham Hotel. And we have Bishop Van is planning to be there. And we'll have, I know the Abbot of St. Michael's Abbey was planning to be there mm-hmm. this year. We have a number of priests that will show up. But we also have, of course, these Men of the Year. Does it cost anything to nominate somebody to be Man of the Year?
Yeah, actually, it doesn't cost anything to nominate. And as we said with that one gentleman last year that answered the call from just the newspaper article that was in the diocesan paper, we worked with him to try and get enough people to attend to pay for the table to support him.
But generally speaking,
but the nominee and his wife would be able to go, but it's so much more exciting and fulfilling for them if they've got the people that nominated them be able to join and do it. So we work with the parish or the organization.
Okay, so it's a dinner. It does cost money for the dinner, but we don't turn anyone away who's a nominee.
No, because
they don't have the money to go. We'll make sure that that takes place.
And they won't be sitting at a table by themselves, but we wouldn't like them to sit at the table that know them. But we definitely, they would be part of the recognition.
And so over the years, generally speaking, a parish will get a table, and you'll have a number of these different tables that are around. How many people usually show up at the dinner itself by the time you're done counting?
Right around 300.
So it's a
right
good-sized dinner.
About, yeah.
Okay, so about 30 to 35 tables, something like that, are going to be out there.
We have some beautiful, we try to spoil the men. We really do. We give them their award, their trophy, which is a crystal award.
Okay.
And we give them a certificate that we take a picture of them with the bishop giving them that certificate. So they have that as a souvenir. They have the trophy as a souvenir. And we have a group picture of all of them together so that they can see the whole group that was nominated with them.
I had the privilege of emceeing that last year. And as MC, I watched the men come in. So I'm standing up at the lectern as I'm ready to have these people come through. And the Knights of Columbus come through and they lead the men in a procession. And then they all are brought up and then they're all seen. And so that way everyone can see who they are. And then a little bit later on in the program, each one of their names is called out in a brief bio. Mm-hmm. We don't want to go into 5 or 10 minutes per man, but a minute to 2 minutes of information about this. Each man is given somewhere in the dinner towards the end of the dinner.
Yeah.
So that way everyone knows who these people are. And so everyone is celebrated.
They're celebrated, and also the organization or the parish or the things that they do, their ministries, are highlighted. And that's, I think, another very impressive point in the program, because those programs get identified and recognized also. So there's a double recognition going on, that the church is recognized just in general for forming these men, But the organizations are also identified as to the charity work that they do.
And it's inspiring. When I was doing this and I'm reading through these bios and their biographies are talking about these different ministries I didn't even know were going on in the Diocese of Orange. Or some of these are from ministries they've been doing around the world. I mean, Bill Sayers has been involved with things all around the world for different doctors' organizations and things. So we were talking before, what again are some of the deadlines and what are some, how would we go about doing this again? You'd go to one of the two websites. What are the two websites to get the information?
The basic one is Saint, S-A-I-N-T, Joseph, spelled out, radio.net.
Okay, so Saint Joseph Radio, but it's not S-T, it's S-A-I-N-T,
yes.
Joseph Radio, all dot one word,
net,
dot net.
And the other one for our local area is OC, for Orange County, OC, Catholic, spelled out, man.org.
OCCatholicMan.org.
Yes.
And when they do that, they'll be able to download a form that will be able to have, it'll ask for basic information. They don't have to put the information in at that point. They just download the form.
They download the form, yes. And then they can have it filled out and they mail them to our office.
Okay. So the ordinary way that this would happen, let's say, for example, that you happen to be in a parish. There's this person that's always been doing stuff all around the parish all the time. And you just, it's time for them to be recognized. You would download this form and then you would take it to Father, mm-hmm. your parish priest, and ask him, what does he think? This is what I'm suggesting. Most parish priests are going to tell you yes, right?
Most of the time they do, unless they have, but even if they have somebody, if you belong to the Italian Federation, maybe in that,
the Italian
that
Federation
another
for
club
St. Catherine's
and say,
Church can
maybe
go ahead and
that,
the person.
That could be the Italian Federation nominee from that parish. And the parish might have another man that he would like to nominate from the parish in general.
Okay.
That's not competition necessarily. It's just there's two different people or organizations that want to recognize their
sometimes
man.
When you have large parishes with a number of different ministries going on,
yes.
you may have good reasons where you want to have more than one from each parish.
Yeah.
Okay.
Every pastor can decide on by themselves, but we need to nominate someone. We need a signature that the pastor has said that this is a Catholic in good standing.
Okay. So they have downloaded the material. They've talked to their pastor. They've got the pastor to at least sign off saying, yes, he's got my seal of approval for being involved with the church in good standing. Mm-hmm. And then they send that information off to your offices.
No,
that's on the form?
The information's on the form, yes. But they do need to send, when they send the forms to us, they have to have filled out their part as the sponsor or nominating and then have the nominee person fill out his part. So they send to us the completed form.
What's the form deadline, the absolute deadline? You got to have it in by
March 1st.
March 1st. That means if you're planning to nominate somebody, let's backward plan a little bit, you have to plan enough time to be able to get that person to fill out their part mm-hmm. and then get them to give it back to you
right.
so you can send it in. And before that, you have to have talked to the pastor. So you've basically got between now and probably late February to make up your mind on getting started on this.
I would. Oh, definitely. We've sent out save the date information. And before the end of January, the formal invitations will be sent out to all the parishes. And the people that we know from last year, the organizations that have nominated, will send them a formal invitation. We will have a advertisement in the Catholic newspaper that says that the formal invitation and, you know, so that they know that you're invited. And even people that don't nominate can still attend. They might want to attend one to see what it's like. And that's great because then you have an idea for the following year, definitely who you might want to invite. So it's good. Some pastors like to come with someone from their parish that was nominated, even if it wasn't the parish itself, it was an organization that, you know, nominated. They come as a guest and they experience it and then they understand what we're talking about when we say it's not just for glory's sake, it's for the glory of God and how he really works with people. He does still work with people. He always will work with people to get his job done.
And this has become a pretty major event in the Diocese of Orange. We have a bishop that's involved with it every year. This year, Bishop Vann, as we've said before, is going to be involved with it. We have about 300 people that are in attendance. It's at a beautiful location, and it is inspiring. In fact, we were talking during the break. It's wonderful when we're able to have some of the youth leaders invited to be a part of this, even if they're not the ones that are nominated,
yes,
but to see the example of other people in their parish as to what they're doing.
Yeah, we had a young gentleman. Now, this is a misnomer, but the men don't have to be married, mm-hmm. but we prefer them to be maybe in their early 30s at least. This gentleman was, but it was remarkable what he had already done in his short lifespan as a Catholic, because he was very involved from confirmation all the way through college, and that's part of his life now. His ministry is part of his life.
Wow.
So even though you don't have children, doesn't mean you know, because it's the spirit of St. Joseph, so you would think it was a family man, but it's the fact that it's this in the spirit of St. Joseph. And this particular gentleman was young, but he had been involved in saving babies for a long time.
Wow.
So he definitely had a father's heart, and that's what we're looking for, too.
Absolutely.
He had the fatherhood of St. Joseph covered. A lot of these have different attitudes of St. Joseph that we highlight.
Wow. Sheila, you're involved in such a great ministry with this. I want to thank you for coming in and talking with us about this. Again, for those of you who would like to nominate someone, the first step is to download the form, and they can find that at stjosephradio.net, all words and all spelled out, or occatholicman.org.
Yes.
And you're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. With me today has been Sheila Beingessner from St. Joseph Radio. Sheila, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
And we're never without a prayer. So in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Lord, we thank you for bringing us together today to talk a little bit more about this wonderful program, St. Joseph Man of the Year. We ask you to bless all those who are involved with this, especially the men, but also those who look to them for inspiration. And bless us all in our efforts to try to recognize those who benefit from this. In your name we pray, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Spirit. Amen. You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host, and we will see you again next week.
Hello, this is Jim Hooper, 2016 nominee for St. Joseph Radio Man of the Year. I'm excited to let you know that the 2017 Man of the Year dinner is coming up on March 18th. The deadline for submission is March 1st, and it's an encouragement to all Catholic men and Catholics in general to get active and get involved. While all men there were shy about standing out, we all walked away with a renewed sense of excitement about serving the Lord. So please don't hesitate to nominate an outstanding man from your parish or organization. The deadline again is March 1st. For more information, call Sheila at 714-402-6347 or go to the website
www.occatholicman.org. That's occatholicman.org.
Thanks, and we hope to see you at the dinner. God bless. We'll